You for our brother. We thank you for your shepherd. We thank you, Lord, that you've called this man to minister in so many different ways, and he truly loves to shepherd your people. And I thank you for his smiling face and for Nancy and all that they do to advance the kingdom. Now, Lord, would you just anoint him, use him to speak to our hearts. And God, I pray even now that the message that he brings would prepare us not only for this day, but the days ahead. And God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. We just thank you and we give you praise and thank you for this man of God who has chosen you, a priest in your house. You stand today. In Jesus' name we all pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
I just want to say on the front end, if you're here today and the Holy Spirit's already speaking to you about being baptized and maybe you didn't prepare and bring a towel and some clothing, we've got a few extra things. Always bring extra. There's already one person getting baptized today that didn't plan on it when they came in. So they came in wearing a suit, and now they got a t-shirt and shorts on, and they're ready. So, amen. I've got Chris Harwell is going to be, he's one of our pastors, and he's going to be in the back there. So to ask you some questions to see if you're ready for baptism and where you're at. So if you're feeling prompted by the Holy Spirit, Chris is going to be back over there. So go ahead and if that's you, then go ahead and talk to him and see if we can accommodate you today in that journey. I felt like the Lord just really wanted me to talk to you today about living ready. And first, in your notes, in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." We need to live ready. You know, there's people who are storing food and all these things. There's people being ready for all kinds of things. But are we ready to always give a reason for the hope that we have? Do we live ready or do we avoid it? Do we ask the Lord, you know, "Lord, let me share today what you've done for me." And I looked up the definition of hope in the Nelson's Bible Dictionary. It said a confident expectancy. Hope does not arise from individual's desire or wishes, but from God, who is himself the believer's hope. So God is our hope. Psalm 39:7 says, "My hope is in you." See, hope distinguishes the Christian from the unbeliever who has no hope. And there's a couple verses there in the parentheses for you to look up later about those who have no hope and where our hope really lies. You know, that's that opportunity. And sometimes the thing about the opportunity of being able to give a reason for the hope that you have, people aren't always pleasant when they ask you to give a reason. Why do you believe in Jesus? Some people can be really argumentative. I worked in a factory for 25 years. Most people were argumentative more than they were pleasant when they were asking about the reason for the hope that you have. You know, sometimes it's as simple as a smile. Sometimes it's as simple as just the joy that you have. Do you ever have anybody just really angry? Why are you so joyful all the time? Why are you smiling? Nancy and I went to Israel in 2005, and Scott prophesied over me before I left that the Lord was going to use my smile there. And I thought, okay, that's kind of weird. Well, he used it in a weird way. Mike Hirsch and I were getting something done, welded for his house, and this little, this Jewish man was really angry. And Mike came over to me laughing. I said, "What's he so mad about?" He said, "You, because you're smiling." He said, "Why does he smile? Doesn't he know he's in Israel?" So... So he was offended by my smile, and Mike was just laughing. So I guess the Lord used my smile, but it wasn't in a prophetic way that I thought he was going to use it. The word ready, the definition is to be prepared, unhesitant, willing, and available. Prepared, unhesitant, willing, and available. So I'm going to read that passage again in 1 Peter 3:15, but I'm going to insert that definition in there. "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared, unhesitant, willing, and available to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have." You know, I just want us to take a moment and hit the pause button of life and glance at the things that we have to get ready for nearly every day. We get ready for bed. We get ready to rise. Get ready for school. Get the kids ready. Get ready for work. Get ready for a test. Get ready for a meeting. Get ready for an appointment. Get breakfast, lunch, and dinner ready. Get ready for another text. Get ready to send another text. Get ready to be ready, since you were not ready enough for those who are ready for you. Are you ready? So it's one of those things where there's so many things that we're always getting ready for. Some of us, we live in we're always going from one thing to the next. With all the pressures of all the things that we make ourselves ready for, Peter tells us to always be ready to explain the reason for the hope that we have. And are you ready for these God encounters, or do you avoid them? Some people are like, I'm not a very good witness. I don't really want to talk to anybody. And sometimes I've heard people say, I hope that person doesn't ask me about Jesus. You know, sometimes we lack that confidence. We lack that ability to trust the Holy Spirit to be able to make us ready to give a reason for the hope that we have, to give us the words to say, you know, to open our mouths and trust that the Holy Spirit's going to give us what we have to say. And when I was in the factory about halfway through, I got saved in the middle of those 25 years. And I stopped cussing, stopped with the jokes, stopped all these things. You know, I wanted to stay in my Christian bubble. I thought, you know, I'm just going to stay in this nice little Christian bubble, and those factory workers, they can stay to themselves. And I'm just going to love Jesus in my little bubble. Well, the Lord loves to pop that bubble, doesn't he? Somebody asked me one day, how come I didn't cuss anymore, and how come I didn't have these jokes, and how come they had their list? And I had to say it. I said, because I became a born-again Christian, and I'm putting those ways behind me. It wasn't 5 minutes. It was all over that shop. You know, how many of you know that, man? It was like all over. And I saw him coming, this one guy. very big guy, musclier guy, very angry because he used to be in a Christian band, and his years back, his wife ran away with his pastor. So he was very bitter at the church, very bitter at God, bitter at anybody who wanted to be a Christian. I saw him come, and I thought, oh, no, who told him? I'm looking for a place to hide. He comes up to me, and he says, I can't wait for something terrible to happen to you just to see what you're made of. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit dropped in what I had to say. I said, how do you know it hasn't? It was in the moment I was, who said that? You know, it's like, man, he's going to beat me up. And he looked at me, and he pondered for a minute, and he left. And a half hour later, he came back and apologized and said, if you're going to walk this out, good luck on your journey. And we had a lot of conversations through the years, but when he would get angry, I'd stop the conversation. But, you know, I wasn't ready to have that answer, but the Holy Spirit was. So the Holy Spirit will equip you with the answer that you need in that moment. In the next verse I put down on your paper, it says 1 Corinthians, but it's actually 2 Corinthians. So correct that, it's 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We are ambassadors of hope. We are ambassadors of hope. You know, there are times when people will look for you in the middle of crisis, in the middle of stuff. They're going to call you up. They're going to look for you because they know that you have that hope that they need. They know that you're a Christian, and when things get shaking and quaking, they're going to come to you. And I was praying about it, and this morning the Lord gave me this acronym for HOPE. It's helping out people eternally. Helping out people eternally. You know, always being ready to point people towards eternal things. You know, people, they want the American dream. They want the pursuit of happiness. I wish I could change that word in our the Declaration of Independence. Well, I would change two words. The Declaration of Dependence upon the Lord. And then I would change pursuit of holiness instead of happiness. Because that changes the whole game. And so, but we are agents of his hope. And we are pointing people towards eternal things because they want this and they want that and they want all these things in life. But really, it's pointing them towards eternal things. Do we live our lives ready for God encounters and the God appointments that the Lord has for us? Do we pray for them? Do you pray for them in the morning and say, Lord, show me what you have for me? You know, we encounter so many unsaved people, so many in the gas station, the bank teller, the checkout person at the store, all these different people that you encounter, and the waitress, you know. Sometimes there's the greatest tip that you can give a waiter or a waitress is how to get to heaven, you know. Here's a tip. Here's the money, but here's also a great tip. You need Jesus. You know, a lot of times they open themselves up for conversations. You know, sometimes waiters and waitresses will see you openly pray before your meal, and it opens up a dialogue. And so if you're available and ready and you've prayed and said, Lord, give me a God encounter today, then that means you're looking for them. You're looking for them. You're looking for to be an opportunity. You're looking for an opportunity to be an ambassador of hope. Or do we simply wait for them to happen? And if we do that, sometimes we're not prepared and we kind of fumble through it. I've blown a few. And I'd say, Lord, can I have another chance? That was really bad, you know. I heard an alarming statistic the other day. It was a high percentage. I was listening to a Christian radio show. And they said a high percentage of parents have never told their children their testimony. And I just want to encourage you to do that. But you can use age-appropriate censorship. You know, sometimes there's things in our testimony we don't want our little, you know, they need to be a little older to understand our testimonies. But use it part of it in life's teachable moments. You know, I remember many times when our kids got a little bit older talking about our testimony to them and how we came to know the Lord. So we need to live our lives in a heightened state of readiness. You know, a lot of times they'll have that different, the different codes or whatever, or different colors or whatever for heightened security in an airport, or if they feel like there's a terrorist threat, they up the grade of the heightened awareness of this stuff. So we need to live our lives in the highest state of readiness to give a reason for the hope that we have. We need to always be ready. You know, and if we're ready, then the Lord's going to really use us. The times we live in demand it. In the light of the tragedy in Aurora, Colorado, we realize that life is so fragile, so delicate, and the Bible calls life a vapor. That whole thing just really stirred me. And and I think of this message, and the Lord put it on my heart a couple weeks ago, this short message about hope. And then I think about what that happened the other day. And all the testimonies that are coming out of the boyfriend who saw it coming, and he shielded his girlfriend and took the bullet and died. You know, and she's going to live with the fact that he did that for her. He laid down his life for her. But the hope is for her to know that Jesus laid down his life a long time ago before her boyfriend did. You know, and so there's just those things, that opportunity. There's so many other testimonies that have come out of that. And then there's some that I look at some of them, some of the family members, and I grieve because I look at them and I don't know if their hope is in Jesus. And I don't know, were these people prepared? And so it really stirs me because I look at that and I'm joyful about those that they kind of say that you can and celebrate that they knew, but then there's some that you don't know. And these things, you know, and then it just really brings it home that life is so fragile and so short. Anything can happen to anybody at any time. Anything can happen. And to, you know, those opportunities that we have to be able to share with people. So I have a question today. Do you have an elevator testimony? Here's an elevator testimony. Someone gets on an elevator with you on the first floor, and they hit the number 3. As the Holy Spirit is prompting you to tell them about Jesus through your testimony, can you do it? You'll have about 30 seconds. And Nancy and I have come up with our elevator testimony, and ours is the 3 B's. From beers to babies to Bibles, okay? So if someone gets in the elevator, and they hit the button, and the Holy Spirit prompts me, then I'll be able to say, you know, I feel the Lord wants me to tell you about him. And my testimony is 3 B's. We went from beers to babies to Bibles. I was a partier, and I lived my life for. We started having children. We looked at eternal things. We got saved, started reading the Bible, and the Bible is where I put my hope. That's the roadmap to life. And I am saved, and Jesus is my Lord, and I'm going to heaven. Ding. You can do it. That's my elevator testimony. Do you have one? You can practice. You guys need to practice on one another, you know? Do your elevator testimony. Because I've used it a few times. And they look at you like they're crazy, and they can't wait for that door to open and get out that door. But they're stuck for at least 30 seconds. They're not going anywhere. And they're not going to hit the emergency stop, so you go longer. So you've got 30 seconds. You know, I belonged to Fitness USA for years, and there's been times where I've been able to talk to different guys. Men in a fitness club are more vulnerable. Their kids aren't around and their wives aren't around, and they can talk very frankly and gruffly and roughly and man, you know, talk. But they'll hit you with some questions that they wouldn't ask you, and the way they ask you, they wouldn't say it in front of their wives. So there was a lot of guys that I've talked to over the years, and there was one time that really struck me. There was a guy named Ray Works, and the guy seemed like he was in great shape. He didn't have any, he had like zero body fat, and he was like be 3 days on the Stairmaster, you know. And I talked to him many days about the Lord and really drawing him closer to the Lord to walk a more serious walk of the Lord and begin to put tools in his hand to do that and have him. I saw a progression in his life to walk closer with the Lord. And I hadn't seen him for a while, and one day I walked into Fitness USA, and there was his picture on the counter. And he had died, and they had a memorial golf outing for him, and I didn't even know he died. And I was like, whoa. And he died alone in a hotel room in Kansas going for the weekend for a sporting event that his daughter in college had. And I didn't even know it, and I just was struck. But then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit assured me all those times that you talked to him, you took the opportunity to talk to him and equip him and put things in his hand. And in the next month, there was probably three or four other guys that died in their 50s, 60s, 70s. And the Lord showed me that I had talked to every one of them at one point or another, in dry heat room, steam room, treadmill, wherever. So always giving a reason for the hope that you have. And I never planned on it, but I had baptized. I led three guys to the Lord and baptized them there at Fitness USA, right there. You know, and praise the Lord. And when I walk up there, I always say, Lord, give me ministry today or give me fellowship. What do you have for me? And so I would walk up, and I never planned on saying, yeah, today we're going to baptize somebody. But I was, you know, what's the definition? Prepared, unhesitant, willing, and available. I was those things. And so the Lord just, he had divine appointments for these guys. There's a crazy story around all three of them. But and it's a public thing, so I never worried about. I thought, if the Lord's going to these extremes for this guy's salvation and baptism today, I'm not going to worry about the witnesses. And there were always men around, the Christian guys around the pool, and they always cheered. I'd baptize them, and I'd come out of the water, and there were three, four guys always cheering. So, amen. So the Lord took care of that, you know, and I've been telling the Lord lately, I'm overdue. It's been a while, Lord. Haven't done that in a while. But it's one of those things where you live your life ready, you know. I never went in that day. It was actually one time I wanted to be alone. I had a book I wanted to read, and the Lord said, take the other book. And I said, why? And it was that book that this guy asked a question about, led him to the Lord, got him baptized. So it was, you know, I went in that day wanting to be alone. Just leave me alone. I didn't want to talk to anybody that day. But when the Lord had me change books, I knew he had a plan, and I needed to get in with that plan. There's 166 verses in the Bible that refer to hope. 86 in the Old Testament, 80 in the New Testament. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. To overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, that is what we want. That is our desire, that we spill over with hope, and it spills over onto the people around us. Amen. So I'm going to pray for you, just for the hope that you have and for your elevator testimony. So, Lord, I just thank you for these that are here today, Lord. I ask, Father, that even this afternoon, wherever they go, Lord, that you would have a God encounter for them, that you would give them discernment to recognize what it is that you're doing, that you have a divine appointment with those that they are around. Lord, I ask that hope would arise, that hope would arise, that it would overflow by the power of your Holy Spirit on all of us. Lord, I ask that you build in each and every one of us, Lord, a short testimony, that no matter how little or how much time we have, we can give a reason for the hope that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, now we're going to transition to baptism. Hoo-hoo. Let's see here. Is there still enough light here? Can you get any light over here, or do I need to get back over by the light? Oh, look at that. And then there was light. Ask and it shall be given.